This evening I plan to complete going through the life of Joseph. This is the 10th one, which, as I said this morning, I started about a year ago. And really I wanted to get to the time really when he and the brothers were reconciled. But more can be said, obviously, of Joseph. But I want to look at Genesis 45 this evening, and a bit like this morning, sort of just go through the chapter and sort of read it, make a few comments along the way, obviously not on every verse. But if we start, obviously, verse 1 in Genesis 45, then Joseph could not refrain himself before all them that stood by him. And he cried, "Cause every man to go out from me." And there stood no man with him, while Joseph made himself known unto his brethren. And he wept aloud, and the Egyptians and the house of Pharaoh heard. And Joseph said unto his brethren, "I am Joseph. Doth my father yet live?" And his brethren could not answer him, for they were troubled at his presence. So there's a sense now in which Joseph was convinced really over the remorse, the change in his brothers, and that they regretted and were very sorrowful of how they had treated him all those years before. And Joseph, of course, had applied various tests in order to sort of prove this, not because he didn't like them, but it was just a test for them. And there we have, don't we, with Joseph saying, as he caused every man to go out from him, and then he wept, and then Joseph said in verse 3, "I am Joseph." We're thinking about earlier whether, you know, the brothers, or any of the brothers actually, realized before that it was Joseph, whether the Lord had blinded their minds and eyes to that fact. We don't really know. It's something that can be discussed. But here is Joseph finally saying to his brothers, "I am Joseph, your brother." It sort of reminded me of the, I don't know if you've ever watched Goodnight Mr. Tom. It was on the telly, actually yesterday, I kind of did watch the end of it. And there's a kind of a punchline right at the end. And in that film, of course, there was the young lad William, who is taken, evacuee in the war. He's taken in by this Mr. Oakley. Sort of perhaps a more of a grumpy sort of older man, and he's Mr. Tom Oakley takes this young lad William in, but quite reluctantly at first, and William would always address them as Mr. Tom, which, or if you've watched it, you'll know. And then as towards the end of the film, through tragedy that had affected that young lad, and with his mother dying, and it was a children's home that wanted to take the young lad away, and they went to Mr. Tom and said, "You're not going to take this lad away and turn him into a guinea pig where you're going to take him. And I said, I'm a lot older than him, obviously, but I want to have him as my son because I love him. I love him. And you're not going to let him down in that children's home, but I love this lad. And then he was properly adopted as his son. And then right at the end, with the young lad William riding this bike, and he was so pleased that he was riding his bike. And he'd always called Mr. Tom, he'd always said Mr. Tom. And as he was riding down the road, he said, "I can ride, Dad." And it was the first time that he said it, and the film ended at that point, "I can ride, Dad." He called him Dad. And it always makes me quite tearful when you sort of watch that film. But there was a sense really with the brothers that they were probably very dumbfounded when Joseph said, "Well, I'm Joseph, your brother." They perhaps were a bit confused, or maybe they were a bit sort of scared. "Well, you know, he's been so nice to us. Is this kind of a ploy so that he can really go in and treat us harshly now? Is this just his way of getting revenge?" Remember when Jacob and Esau met up? I think we sort of mentioned that earlier in Genesis, wasn't it? Jacob had been involved in trickery towards Esau, and then Jacob really feared meeting Esau, but they didn't in the end have anything to fear. But perhaps it reminds us a bit of that, and maybe these brothers, you know, feeling, you know, what's Joseph going to do now? You know, he's been treating us so nicely and looking after us and so on. And now he's going to want revenge. But then verse 4, "And Joseph said unto his brethren, Come near to me, I pray you. And they came near. And he said, I am Joseph, your brother, whom ye sold into Egypt. Now therefore be not grieved, nor angry with yourselves that ye sold me hither. For God sent me before you to preserve life. For these 2 years have the famine been in the land. And yet there are 5 years in the which there shall neither be earing nor harvest." So it was 7 years of famine. There'd been two so far, and there was still another 5 to go. "And God sent me before you to preserve you a posterity in the earth, and to save your lives by a great deliverance. So now it was not you that sent me hither, but God. And he hath made me a father to Pharaoh, a lord of all his house, and a ruler throughout all the land of Egypt." And we read, didn't we, in Genesis 50, verse 20, "But as for you, ye fought evil against me, but God meant it unto good, to bring to pass as it is this day, to save much people alive." So very much, isn't there, with Joseph, there was very much a godliness about the way that he would think and speak. And here it is, speaking to the brothers. And so, well, you know, it was all in the purposes of God that I should come here, and you did what you did. You meant it for evil, but God meant it unto good. Verse 9, haste ye and go up to my father and say unto him, thus saith thy son Joseph, God hath made me lord of all Egypt. Come down unto me, tarry not. And thou shalt dwell in the land of Goshen, and thou shalt be near unto me, thou and thy children, and thy children's children, and thy flock, and thy herds, and all that thou hast. And there will I nourish thee. Yet there are 5 years of famine. Once again he says, there's still 5 years to go of famine, lest thou and thy household and all that thou hast come to poverty. Yes, well, they came, didn't they, because of the famine in Canaan. And then they ran out again of food. Well, 2 years have passed, still another 5 to go. They said, but go home, inform our father, Jacob, and bring him here, because there's still many years of famine to go. Verse 12, and behold, your eyes see, and the eyes of my brother Benjamin, that it is my mouth that speaketh unto you. And ye shall tell my father of all my glory in Egypt, and of all that ye have seen. And ye shall haste and bring down my father hither. And he fell upon his brother Benjamin's neck and wept. So a special bond between them, say, the sons of Rachel. And Benjamin wept upon his neck. Moreover, he kissed all his brethren and wept upon them. And after that, his brethren talked with him. And the fame thereof was heard in Pharaoh's house, saying, Joseph's brethren are come. And it pleased Pharaoh well, and his servants, so they were happy. And Pharaoh said unto Joseph, say unto thy brethren, this do ye, lay your beasts and go, get you unto the land of Canaan, and take your father and your households, and come unto me, and I will give you the good of the land of Egypt, and ye shall eat the fat of the land. Now thou art commanded, this do ye, take you wagons out of the land of Egypt, for your little ones, and for your wives, and bring your father, and come. Also regard not your stuff, for the good of all the land of Egypt is yours. And the children of Israel did so, and Joseph gave them wagons, according to the commandment of Pharaoh, gave them provision for the way. So Pharaoh, he was so happy, wasn't he? Obviously, he'd made Joseph his right-hand man, the prime minister, and had entrusted really all the responsibility during the years of plenty and years of famine to Joseph. He trusted him implicitly, didn't he? And was so pleased, and of course it was Joseph, the Lord, who Joseph, that had interpreted the dreams that Pharaoh had in the first place that led to him coming to Pharaoh's household and being really the prime minister at this time of famine. A time of plenty and famine, which of course was what the dreams were all about. To all of them he gave each man changes of raiment, but to Benjamin he gave 300 pieces of silver and 5 changes of raiment. Remember, of course, Jacob showed, you think, favoritism to Joseph, giving him that coat, which made all the brothers very irate and angry, wasn't it? But here's Joseph giving to Benjamin, fellow son of Rachel, giving extra to him. And there's no jealousy, there's no murmuring from the brothers at all this time. And to his father he sent after this manner, 10 asses laden with the good things of Egypt, 10 she asses laden with corn and bread and meat, for his father by the way. So he sent his brethren away, and they departed. And he said unto them, see that ye fall not out by the way. And they went up out of Egypt, came into the land of Canaan unto Jacob their father, and told him, saying, Joseph is yet alive, and he is governor over all the land of Egypt. And Jacob's heart fainted, for he believed them not. You know, you're lying. You know, this can't be true. You know, Joseph had been mauled by a beast, and you hadn't said otherwise. But now they're saying, he's alive? And he told them all the words of Joseph, which he had said unto them. So perhaps there was disbelief really with Jacob. But when he saw the wagons which Joseph had sent to carry him, the spirit of Jacob, their father, revived. Suddenly he saw all these wagons and all this great provision. Before, when they'd come back, they'd just sort of come back with their sacks, their usual things, and of course their money that had been returned to them, and food, but nothing like this. And now they've got, you know, tremendous provision and all these wagons. And Jacob saw all these wagons. And it surely reminds us, doesn't it, of the wonderful way that God can bless us. And Ephesians 3:20 says, now unto him that is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. And God is a good God. I'm sure we would all say that. But there are times when God has been especially good. Through this trial, through this difficulty. And at this time, it's as though he sent wagons. It's a great blessing. And it revived us. And surely when the Lord revives us and blesses us this way, it surely should lead us to praise him. Although we should always be praising the Lord, even if there aren't the wagons, even if the times are difficult. We should still praise God, even through the tough times. But those times when God is especially good, well, how we should bless his name and praise his name then. In Genesis 46, we read in the next chapter about how Jacob and his family were then invited to Egypt. As I said, the 5 years of famine still remained, but they would be very comfortable during that time. And then in our verse, the last verse of Genesis 45, and Israel said, it is enough. Joseph, my son, is yet alive. Now, it's not a fantasy. It's not wishful thinking. I'm not seeing things. It's true. Joseph is alive. I will go and see him before I die. But if we read in Genesis 47 and verse 28, Jacob would live 17 more years yet. So it wasn't as though he would sort of die quite soon. No, he would live another 17 more years. Genesis 47:28, and Jacob lived in the land of Egypt 17 years. So the whole age of Jacob was 147 years. Of course, people don't live that long today. Of course, as we go through the scriptures, of course, the sort of average age decreased, didn't it? I mean, Methuselah was 969, right? You know, in the early parts of Genesis. But then you know, as a result of sin, as a result of the fall, the average age came down. But 147 is still a good age. But what can we say of Joseph? Just sort of summarizing Joseph. Well, he was tried, wasn't he? Psalm 105:19, there's a reference to him there. Until the time that his word came, the word of the Lord in dreams tried him. Yes, he would be exalted, but had to wait for a number of years until his exaltation. And so it was because his dreams, Joseph's dreams, how his brothers would bow down to him, you know, they didn't like that. And that was part of the reason that they wanted rid of him. They didn't like his dreams. But God's timing was perfect. As it is with us. And also when, after Potiphar had thrown Joseph into jail, of course, there was that 2 years, wasn't it, that he was languishing in the prison because the butler forgot all about him. But it was in the purposes of God that after that period then Pharaoh had his dreams about the years of plenty and the years of famine and how he needed somebody to help. So God's timing was perfect where Joseph was concerned. And so it is with us, isn't it? And we need to submit to God's perfect timing and his timetable. Not our timetable. And his ways are better than our ways. His thoughts are better than higher than ours. But his ways are perfect. And may we submit to that and have patience. We don't always understand why things happen or why there's a delay. Delays are not denials. But how we need patience and to wait on the Lord. Often we're told, aren't we, to wait on the Lord. And need to be patient. Know that his timing is right. He's too good, as words of a hymn said, he's too good to be unkind. And he's too wise to be mistaken. So he was tried, and of course there was false accusations with Potiphar's wife and the treatment that he had from the brothers too. But he had strong emotions. Joseph was overcome when he saw Benjamin. And when the brothers showed genuine repentance, we read in Genesis 43, he lifted up his eyes and saw his brother Benjamin, his mother's son, and said, "Is this your younger brother of whom he spake unto me?" And he said, "God be gracious unto thee, my son." And Joseph made haste, for his bowels did yearn upon his brother, and he sought where to weep, and he entered into his chamber and wept there. That's in Genesis 43, 29 and 30. You know, a special bond with his brother Benjamin. And seeing him, of course, Benjamin didn't come with them, with the brothers the first time they came, as we've seen before. And then in our chapter today, in verses 1 and 2, then Joseph could not refrain himself before all them that stood by him. And he cried, "Cause every man to go out from me." And there stood no man with him, while Joseph made himself known unto his brethren. And he wept aloud. And the Egyptians in the house of Pharaoh heard. It was not just sort of gentle crying or a few tears, but it was a loud weeping, wasn't it? That the Egyptians and the house of Pharaoh heard it. So he had strong emotions. And he was spiritually sensitive. When Potiphar's wife sort of accused him of his behavior. How can I do this great wickedness and sin against God? That was it, wasn't it? Sinning against God. That's what he chiefly considered. Well, I'm sinning against God if I was to do this and behave this way towards Potiphar's wife. And Joseph admitted too that it's only God who can reveal the meaning of dreams. It wasn't as though Joseph had some sort of secret power or a special gift. Genesis 41:16, and Joseph answered Pharaoh, saying, "It is not in me. God shall give Pharaoh an answer of peace." So all the time and those verses that we read in Genesis 50, there's an emphasis there of God. As I said with verse 20, "Ye fought evil against me, God meant it for good." And before that in verse 17, so shall he say unto Joseph, "Forgive, I pray thee now, the trespass of thy brethren and their sin. For they did unto thee evil, and now we pray thee, forgive the trespass of the servants of the God of thy father." Joseph wept when they spake unto him. Again, that's his strong emotions that he had. And Joseph said unto them, "Fear not, for am I in the place of God? But as for you, ye fought evil against me, God meant it for good." And so very much Joseph was speaking about the Lord, and in a very real way. So he had a relationship, a natural sort of relationship with the Lord. It wasn't just words, but because of what the Lord meant to him, the relationship that he had, he would often speak in these ways concerning God. So he was spiritually sensitive, and it's good, isn't it, for us to be spiritually sensitive, to keep short accounts with God, isn't it? And for us to, with the help of God, to examine ourselves. As the psalmist says, "Examine me and see if there's any wicked way in me." And may we be helped to keep short accounts with God. And may we be quite sensitive when we sin against God and sin against others. And know that we're sinning against God as well as others. But he was forgiving, wasn't he? And showed he relied on a sovereign God. As we've said with that verse in chapter 50, verse 20. God meaning it for good. And in Job 42... there we read about God turning the captivity of Job. And in Psalm 126, God turning Zion, or the church's, captivity. And so sort of captivity that Joseph experienced, God turned that Genesis 45, as we read verses 5 and 8. Now therefore, be not grieved nor angry with yourselves that ye sold me hither. For God did send me before you to preserve life. So now it was not you that sent me hither, but God. So there's a spiritual sensitivity there and a recognition of God. And that should be with us, isn't it? We acknowledge God and say, well, this has happened, but I've seen the good hand of God in this situation. Or God has allowed this, Lord has allowed this to happen. And may there be that sort of language that we use of not blaming God, but saying, well, in the sovereignty and the will of God, this has happened. But good will result, even if at the time we don't actually see it. And then finally, he was prepared for death. Hebrews 11:22, by faith Joseph, when he died, made mention of the departing of the children of Israel. They were not to stay in Egypt, and he gave commandment concerning his bones. So he was prepared for death. And that's good, isn't it? If we are prepared for death. We don't know when it will come. It might suddenly come. It might not come for quite a few more years. But, you know, it can suddenly come. But are we ready? Are we ready for death? Are we ready to meet the Lord? And if we are in Christ, if we know our sins are forgiven and we have peace with God, then we need not fear death. And may it be that we know something of the wonderful grace of God. It says in Amos 4:12 about being prepared to meet thy God. And are we prepared to meet God? And may it be that we are prepared and that we know that he's prepared a place for us. I go to prepare a place for you. So if we are the Lord's, he's gone to prepare a place for us. So here's the lesson, isn't there, for people to be prepared to meet thy God, because none of us know when it will be. Our times are in his hands, not our own. Just finally, I think A.W. Pink came up with about 100 parallels between Christ and Joseph. I think there was about 100. I've just written a few. I'll just read through a few that I've written down to see how indeed Joseph was very much a type of Christ. And we see that so much in the scripture, don't we? In the Old Testament, there's so much that is revealed in the New Testament. And I was listening to something yesterday, something about on Revelation, and that a lot of it can be explained by going back to the Old Testament for the answers. So Joseph was a type of Christ, and there's a few things I'll just go through these in conclusion. Firstly, Joseph was born by special decree. His mother, Rachel, was barren, and so it is with the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, it was a special birth, wasn't it, of Virgin Mary. Secondly, Joseph was the firstborn of Rachel. Benjamin was the other child. But Joseph was the firstborn, just as the Lord Jesus was Mary's first child, because she went on to have other children. And Joseph's future was revealed to shepherds, his brethren. And so it is with the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ, a message to the shepherds. Fourthly, Joseph was hated by his brothers. and there was many who hated the Lord Jesus Christ. And right at the beginning, Herod particularly, initially, wanting Christ to be killed. Joseph was beloved of his father Jacob. His mother Rachel was special and well loved by Rachel, by Jacob. We saw that before, of particular how Jacob really loved Rachel, and he worked 7 years for her, got given Leah, and then he worked another 7 years in order to get Rachel. And what's said of the Lord Jesus by the Father? This is my Son, whom I love, with whom I am well pleased. And then, sixthly, Joseph was stripped of his raiment. And so it was with Christ as well. But we know that with Joseph, stripped of his coat. Sold for the price of a slave. Applies to both Joseph and the Lord Jesus. Joseph suffered while his brothers feasted. And Christ suffered, didn't he, at the Passover feast. Joseph was tempted. And so was the Lord Jesus. But of course he didn't sin. Joseph was falsely accused by Mrs. Potiphar. And the Lord was falsely accused. Joseph in his humiliation won the respect of the jailer. Christ in his humiliation won the respect of the centurion. Mark 15:39. When the centurion which stood over against him saw that he so cried out and gave up the ghost, he said, "Truly this man was the Son of God." Joseph was numbered with the transgressors. We read that of the Lord Jesus in Isaiah, don't we? In Joseph's case, one found deliverance with the butler. In Christ's case, the penitent thief knew a deliverance. So the message of the Lord Jesus Christ is life to some, death to others. Joseph said to the butler, "Remember me." What does Christ say to us when we sit around the Lord's table? Do this in remembrance of me. Joseph was made a Lord. Men bow to him. And so it is that every knee shall bow to the Lord Jesus Christ. Joseph was given a wife. And the church is the bride of Christ. And 17th and lastly, Joseph acted as prophet with his dreams, priest, and having this coat of many colours was a kind of priestly garment, and king with the brothers bowing down to him. Next to Pharaoh was the most important ruler in the region. So Joseph acted as prophet, priest and king, and so does the Lord Jesus Christ. Act as prophet, priest and king. There's lots of wonderful types, parallels between Joseph and Christ. As I said, I think Pink came up with 100, I've just given about 17. But that's all I've written and time has gone, so we shall leave it there. But I trust that these thoughts over these months on Joseph have been, I've enjoyed sort of doing it, and there's more that could be said, and perhaps if I do it somewhere else I might do more, because I'm sure there's a lot more that could be said. But a wonderful character is Joseph, so may we be blessed as we think of Joseph, and of course he was a type and very much of the Lord Jesus Christ, and the similarities and the parallels between them both. We'll leave those thoughts there. Amen.